Father in heaven, we do ask that you would guide us in deeply to your word to understand what a device handling disciple looks like in today's world. And we do ask that you would guide us by your wisdom and your grace and point us towards Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. On October 10th last year in Tompkins Square Park in New York City, a crowd gathered for what was called Delete Day. Have you heard of this? Nobody. All right. People who were tired of giving in to their social media accounts and their addiction to their devices were going to delete an app together at 7 p.m. sharp as they gathered in the park. This group of people have started a movement of mass deletion. And if you want to take a look and learn more, it's at a website called timetorefuse.com. The point seems clear to this group of people. Their lives have been taken over by the strong lure and forces of their devices. So like-minded refusers gathered to delete specific apps that were ensnaring them. They recognized that their lives were swerving out of control, so they sought to make a change together. And they took a stand against something so normalized in our culture and our society that I think they stood out. Now, they did not repent and believe the gospel. I'm not here to report that there was a mass revival in that park, but it is refreshing to consider how this group of people recognized that they actually had a problem with their devices, and they sought to join forces with one another to actually attack that because they recognized we probably can't quit this on our own. What about you? Do you think you're being controlled by one or more of your devices or apps right now? Does it have a hold on you? In preparing for this series, I've seen a problem with my own phone use and have had to implement change. I've been troubled by how much I've actually let my phone dictate my spare time. I've come to see that whether I like to admit it or not, I have a real problem with my device. This smartphone is controlling my time and attention far too much. And I think what I'm learning is that my use of my device reveals my true walk with Christ, how I'm actually doing. I've come to be convinced that my use of technology, especially my use of my smartphone, is a good measure to see how my heart's doing. My screen time seems like a good check on how things are going spiritually. I say that because I'm always around my phone, aren't you? For those of us who have these smartphones, they're like always present in our lives. And my phone and my engagement with it is an environment in which I'm playing out or practicing my Christianity, right? Or I'm playing out and practicing my hypocrisy. I'm not sure if it's that for you, but it seems to me to be a place where I'm able to gauge whether I'm living with integrity or with hypocrisy. There's a worldly way of using my device, and there's a godly way of using my device. The question we want to sort out today is this: how am I using my device? Am I using it in a godly way, as a godly person, or am I using it in a worldly way, as a worldly person would? In this series, we're going to dig into Scripture to rethink how we interpret and engage the tech devices we're surrounded by. And if you're not sure if you have a problem with tech yet, I want you to be brave today. I want you to go into your settings of your smartphone, and I want you to check how many times you picked it up today. Don't do it right now, though, please. And how many hours of screen time on average you did, because it'll sort it out for you. These settings, they're amazing. It'll tell you how much time you spent per day on average this week. Take a look in your settings. See if that might be a baffling score and review for you. Maybe you'll find some evidence that you're far too connected to this thing. Is it possible that one of the reasons we feel so disconnected from God is because we're way too connected to our devices? You spend more time alone with your phone or alone with God? And all convicted people said, ouch. Today we're trying to gain wisdom when we're navigating our devices with a Christian lens. And the point I want to get across is this: my use of devices reveals a lot about my real walk with Christ. My use of devices reveals a lot about my real walk with Christ. Not just what I say, but what I actually am doing with Jesus. At times, today's sermon may feel like you're being put on a table and having an x-ray on your heart. But I think a good diagnosis of the problem is important before we get the good medicine from the doctor. So please allow me to step on your toes a little here and get specific at times in order to apply the cure of the gospel to your heart and to my heart as we think this through as followers of Christ. The first thing we're going to see in this morning is that my use of devices reveals what I think about myself and God. My use of devices reveals what I think about myself and God, or we could say it reveals my relationship with God. My use of devices, we're going to look at a couple verses in a moment, but my use of devices reveals my practical theology. By that I mean my application or non-application of the Bible to my life. One theologian said that theology was the art of living to God. It's one thing to say that I love God, and it's one thing to say that I believe certain teachings about Him. In fact, I might be able to articulate those teachings really well. But it's another thing altogether to actually live as though I believe and love Him. Right? At this point, I have God's omnipresence in mind, His immensity, theologians say, His being present at all places throughout the world, at all times. As Christians, my theology is meant to be connected to my lifestyle and my ethics. If I believe God is present everywhere, I really should consider about the fact that He actually goes with me all places at all times, and He sees me at all places and all times. I can't take time off from being a Christian. His word applies to all of me everywhere I go, whether I go on vacation, go on a mission trip, or I go to a dark locked room. There is nowhere that my theology isn't to be applied and lived out as a believer. Christ calls us to live in obedience to Him, whoever we are and wherever we go. So recognizing that we live under His constant, always watching us, always caring for us all the time, that means that we never do anything behind His back. He always sees everything we do, even if we're home alone on our smartphone. God is watching us. And a good test of our engagement with, or a good test of our maturity as believers, is do we even recognize that? Do we recognize that I'm actually living out my life on this device? A couple of verses for us to consider. Jeremiah 23:24 says, "Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" Is there such a place as a secret place? Apparently not. God can see us everywhere at all times. Psalm 139, 1 through 7, reminds us of this in a different way as well. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up." We can add, "You know when I scroll and when I binge watch. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, or before I comment on a video or send the email, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." Verse 7 says, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?" Rhetorical answer, nowhere. I wanted to start here today, not to browbeat you or to shame you, but to give you an opportunity to see that your device may be a place where you're actually sinning against the Lord. And yet, if you are sinning with your device, this is not the unpardonable sin. This too is why Christ died for you. To pay for it, yes, but He also rose again to bring you into the newness of life. That if you believe in Him, you will see He's even given you the power of the Holy Spirit in you to overcome the force and pull of your device and how it might be leading you into sin as well. Through the resurrected Lord, you don't have to be a slave to your phone, just like you don't have to be a slave to your sin. At the end of Psalm 139, we hear a prayer in light of who we are and who God is, our relationship to Him. And maybe this is a good time for you to consider praying this prayer, echoing it in your own words, or even saying these exact words from verse 23 to 24. It might be possible that you're grieving the Holy Spirit by the way in which you're using your phone. And so consider praying these words to Him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a bold prayer. You know, it's better than scrolling ourselves to death and content consuming, communing with the triune God in openness, in the forgiveness of our sins, experiencing that renewal and joy as we meditate on His promise, on His promises and what He's done for us in Jesus. Delighting in the Lord is an acquired taste, just like eating Brussels sprouts is, or kimchi, or sauerkraut. Right? But we taste and see how good He is, and our love for Him and taste buds for our devices may actually start to wane. Our love for Him may grow, and our desire to be on our devices may wane. That might be how this works for you. Now let's look at Romans 6, verses 12 to 14, to see that the second thing we're going to learn is that my use of devices reveals how I'm handling temptations and sins. Look at verse 12 of Romans 6. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So if you're a Christian here today, you're to live in your body in new ways than you used to, right? How might the things that I touch, scroll, swipe, watch, say, and listen to glorify God now? How might I conquer sin that I used to be addicted to? What should I do when I'm tempted to sin on my phone? Maturity is marked not by perfection, but by a new direction and heart posture towards the Lord whom we love. And our hearts are revealed by how we use our bodies, fingers, and eyeballs for the Lord. So we are to put our energy into living in the light and open with others, not seeking privacy and darkness, but seeking the light and openness. So how is such a lifestyle even possible? Well, if we look at Romans 6, verse 14, it says, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Now, this is a promise that sin will not win in the Christian's life. We aren't powerless to change as believers. Though temptations present themselves and come to us and knock on our doors, sin no longer has dominion over us. It doesn't rule us. It isn't the sphere under which we live anymore. In other words, we don't have to say yes to sin as believers. Now, if you're here and you're not yet a Christian, I'm sorry to tell you, but you really don't have this power yet. Sin is dominating you, and you need to look to Jesus to come out from under that dominating power of sin. Only Jesus will do. Only Jesus can put sin in its place and die and rise again for it in order to help you not only be forgiven, but have the power to say no to it in the power and name of Jesus. So, Christian, remember this. You do not have to say yes to sin. And that means you do not have to say yes to sinning on your device, too. God has given us new hearts so that we can have new habits now. I don't have to live to obey my body's impulses and desires and cravings and lusts now. especially the impulse to always check my phone or doom scroll. I live dedicated to obey Jesus now, body, soul. Believer, you don't live under the ruling power of sin anymore because of God's amazing grace. You live under that. Sin is referred to in Romans 6 as a persona. Notice that. It says sin will have no dominion over me. It is referred to as a personified power, not an abstraction. Okay? It is as though it has a life of its own, right? Do you know this, Christian? In your battle with sin, you give in an inch, ooh, that thing's forceful, right? It's powerful. Yeah, sin is a power. And we as believers need to recognize it's not simply an abstraction. Sin will have no dominion over you, Christian. It's as though it has a life of its own, yes, but remember God told Cain, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Like a wild beast, sin must be tamed and slain, or it will remain in our hearts and regain power over us, right? It's a real, real battle going on in our hearts as believers. So if sin takes control of us believers, we need to recognize it got that control because we let it. We let our guard down and we gave it some room to work. So we can't let sin slide in the habits of our hearts, hands, ears, or eyes. We must put it in its place by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we need to get intentional about overcoming it. And at times, our smartphones will lure us away from Christ. So we better recognize it for what it is. If it's luring me away from my loving Lord, then it's a sin and a power that I must knock down and overcome in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Spirit. If I'm honest, I think our preoccupation with our phones and our screens and our devices indicates where we're at spiritually, right? I wonder how many of us can testify that now the first thing in the morning that we see isn't our Bibles anymore, but our phones. Ugh, conviction again. Sometimes this device gives me the weather and my calendar and directions to a destination, but at other times, it's a temptress ever present with me in my pocket, threatening my intimacy with Jesus at every swipe, seducing me to dive into secret sin. So, I should ask, am I being ruled and mastered by my phone, or am I ruling and mastering it? Do I own it, or does it own me? Maybe we need to apply that good old phrase from Robert Murray McShane here to our phones. For every look at your sin or your smartphone, take 10 looks at Christ. Believer, if your phone is causing you to sin, think about ways in which you can cut it off. Die to self to live for Christ, who is your life. Seek things above, not things on your phone. Talk to others about your plan and act in the power of God's grace. He's worth it. He's worthy, isn't he? Now we move to our thought life. My use of devices reveals my thought life. For this, we're going to consider 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6, as guiding verses. Where there it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." So if Paul can say that his engagement with the world in the first century was spiritual war in the mind, how about us? Is our engagement with the world of social media and smartphones any less spiritual war than his? No, there's many arguments coming at us every day, right? So much information coming at us to sift through as believers. This text shows us that the way to wage and win the war is to be vigilant with our thoughts. Winning the spiritual battle is not a passive, lazy-minded coasting past temptations and sins. We must take hold of our thoughts and bring them under submission to obey Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord. Well, we better not let our minds drift online from Him when we sit there and scroll, because it'll be no time at all before our minds are swimming downstream. If He is our Lord, then His Word needs to dictate how I use my phone too. He's the shot caller in my life now. So I better be ready to obey what He says, even when my device is steering me into disobedience. How's your thought life? How's your mind? Getting very practical. Are there places on my phone that I go to which help me to obey Jesus? Are there places that hinder my obedience to Him? How might I set my phone to block the disobedient paths and open the obedient paths wider? There are ways. Maybe you take away your internet browser. Maybe you need a dumb phone. Be ready to punish the habit of disobedience on your phone in order to obey Christ your Lord. He's worthy of that. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 together. Now we see my use of devices reveals who I'm aiming to please. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 says this: "We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, I'll add, whether online or in person, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Now, over to 14. "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Who am I aiming to please today? That's the question that my actions are answering every day. If my life is all about me, myself, and my iPhone, and I'm driven to find pleasure through my devices, that's called idolatry, right? That's living for self. And that's the life of sin. But if I wake up each day aiming to please the one who died and rose again for me, motivated by his love for me, that's called worship, right? And one of the beautiful features of Christianity is that Jesus liberates me from living for me, right? I don't have to live for myself anymore. I live for him who died and rose again on my behalf. As this passage says, he died and rose again so that I might no longer live for myself, but for him. We'll talk more about this in a moment, but notice how verse 7 says we are to live for him. How am I to live to please this one who gave himself for me? Believers are to walk by faith, not by sight. I've been convicted of this lately because one of the ways I see my problem with my device is by how much I look and watch something and how little I listen, right? If I'm always looking at the screen and scrolling, there's a good chance that my faith is not being stimulated or growing. Though this isn't what Paul had in mind here, right? He didn't have the struggle of a smartphone user. It's a helpful and timely truth for us. Aiming to please God means I will walk by faith in the written word of God. I will be a person whose ear is inclined to God's word. My faith will flourish when I aim to please God by living under and according to his living word, the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. My faith doesn't flourish when I'm watching videos or playing video games. My faith flourishes when I'm walking in step and in obedience to the written and revealed word of God. So are you walking by faith or sight? Am I walking in such a way? There are many great Bible apps that you can read the Bible on or listen to. Many of you already know this. But a good use of your time when you're under attack is to open up one of those Bible apps and just get it to read you God's word, whether you're doing dishes or driving, walking, working out, or on the bus. Ask yourself, am I walking by faith? Am I aiming to please the one who died and rose again on my behalf? Or are we walking day by day, by sight, scrolling, and constantly looking? How does Christ's love for you control your heart and your playlist and what you receive in your ears? To make some applications very specific now, I want to talk to the parents as a fellow Christian and a fellow parent. Now, parents, consider this. We're on a journey of learning this ourselves, right? But we are seeking to be guided by God's revealed word and wisdom in the scripture. Consider that your device is often how you're shaping your kids' use of devices. Sorry, your use of devices, how you use that thing, is shaping them on how they think and they want to use the thing. So if I live all day, every day on my phone, do I expect my children to not want to live all day, every day on their phone? And if we're thinking about giving a phone to a child, we need to ask some pretty important questions. Ask yourself, why do you feel the need to give your child a phone? Why do I want my kid to have a phone? A smartphone here, okay? Not talking about dumb phones. Is it because they're being pressured by peers, and now they're pressuring you? Will I cave under the pressure of my kid? Also, consider the character of your kid. The phones of today are not like the phones of our day, parents. Don't think, well, hey, I had a phone in high school, so should they, right? No, phones today are supercomputers in your pocket, right? Are they ready for that? Do they have character for that? Would I put a filter on their phone? These are questions we need to ask and we need to consider. There's a lot of nuance here. But do my kids have ethical maturity in their consciences to handle a phone? Or will they use this to go and sin with? Surely I wouldn't want to lead them that way, right? Most of our kids aren't ready for the bombardment of information and temptation that comes through these phones. So be wise parents, not simply permissive parents. Don't throw them into the deep end if they don't have moral maturity and expect them to swim upstream spiritually. Next, we look at Ephesians 5 to consider that my use of devices reveals my priorities. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 20. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with the heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we Christians are to manage our days and our time looking to be wise. Making the best use of our time is an important way of thinking Christianly about our devices. You know the feeling of doom scrolling, then looking at the clock to see that you've wasted an hour or two or more? You know that feeling? It's not a good feeling. It's far more important to fill our hearts in those moments with scripture and with praise and with thanksgiving than to fill our eyes with more reels, more YouTube shorts or TikToks. My Christian walk is growing or wilting because of what I'm prioritizing in my life. And we should mark as important and as a priority loving Christ more. Let's finish by considering my use of devices as it reveals what I worship. My use of devices reveals what I worship. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is basically what every point in the sermon was getting at. Remember what David Foster Wallace said? Not a Christian, by the way, and no relation to me. But he said this, it's a great quote. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. Now, to paraphrase him a bit, in the day-to-day scrolling, there is no such thing as atheism. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship, even online. Now, to worship something is to live for something, right? It's to love something so much that my whole life revolves around that thing now. It's to obsess about it. We love what we worship, and we worship what we love. All humans are worshipers, but we don't all worship the living God. In fact, one of our biggest problems is that we are naturally worshipers of people, places, and things instead of God. Naturally and normally, we don't like God even. Instead, we like ourselves and doing our own thing. We are born with a worship disorder. But when we believe the gospel, God transforms us into worshipers of Him. He puts us back together and He reorders our worships, and His mercies are what melts our hearts to make us new worshipers of the true God. My new life and my new world now revolves around Christ. Christ is my life, and worshiping is the spiritual reflex of believing in Him. As believers, we love God by doing things in our bodies, in our minds, with our fingers, that are holy and acceptable to Him. That includes using our devices. So here's the challenge. Paul tells us to take action and not be influenced by the world's ways, right? Don't be conformed to the world's ways. Some of the things that I see and you see on your smartphone is clearly sinful and worldly. And they are trying to influence and pressure our thinking to conform to that way of thinking. So, the worldly ways in which this phone is presenting to us a worldly mindset, it's trying to persuade me to think about people, places, and things, even God, in ways that dishonor God. For the sake of Christ, we believers are to resist the pressures and influences of this world on our phones and be transformed by the renewal of our minds. To do this, we need God's word to wash our minds regularly. And we wash our minds with a good Bible brainwash and rinse by immersing ourselves in the mercies of God. You see that in Romans 12, verse 1. Paul appeals to them by the mercies of God, by the strong, powerful, potent mercies of God, which points to the gospel. Don't think of the mercies of God as something that is impotent, unable to be strong. No, no, no. The mercies of God can melt the hard heart, right? If you've been converted, you know that that's true of you. The mercies of God in Jesus Christ melted our hearts, transforming us to be new people, His holy people. And His holy, merciful life wins our heart to Him and His ways, then we want to be His holy people, even with our spare time, and worship Him. And as we worship Him, we're transformed to be more like Him. So God desires that those who worship Him will be committed to Him over everyone and everything else in life.
He wants all of us, the whole person. And Romans 12 is addressed to a community. He wants the whole community to worship him. Our physical life, our private life, our public life, our online life is meant to be a way in which we worship. So the question is, are we committed to living for Christ with all of our life, even on our device? A couple questions as we close. How is my device changing me? Probing thoughts. Is your screen time making you more like Christ, or are you becoming more disobedient, worldly, and depressed? Maybe you need a detox from what they're calling digital dope. Find time to immerse yourself in the mercies of God regularly. It's easy, even as believers, to conform to the world on our devices. So we need to resist the flow of the world's traffic and pressure and run uphill if we're going to be transformed. So, would you drop your device right now to worship Christ? Choose this day whom you will serve. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need a greater understanding of the goodness and greatness of your mercies in Christ. Please fill our hearts with a sense of awe for you again. Fill this church with a fear of God as we seek to conduct ourselves in this world in a way that's wise, winsome, and constantly pointing others to you. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, Lord, in the conviction of the moment. May we know that there is indeed a Savior right now who says, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and need rest. And maybe right now, Lord, we're weary of scrolling on our devices. And so, Lord, we come to you and we ask that you'd tend to us, that you'd mend us, and that you'd give our hearts a soul rest. In Jesus' name.